DuGrange led him through a series of wide passageways and intersecting corridors, filled with bustling people who immediately stopped what they were doing to fall back and bow deeply as Jordan approached. At first, Jordan found this rather pleasant and not a little gratifying, but it soon became boring and finally irritating. The endless bowing was getting on his nerves. It was like walking through an endless supply of head waiters. He enjoyed the adulation he'd received as an actor because he'd felt he'd earned it by his art. But these people were bowing to him because they had to, not because they felt he was worthy of it. Jordan decided he didn't care for that at all. Receiving acclaim you hadn't earned was like drinking wine with no alcohol in it. It didn't thrill. Finally, he just ignored them all and didn't acknowledge anybody. He kept an eye out for ghosts and monsters and other traces of the unreal, but so far Castle Midnight seemed much like all the other castles he'd visited, dark, crowded, and drafty. The corridors became steadily narrower as they made their way deeper into the castle, and Jordan began to find the endless black stone walls both depressing and disturbing. It never seemed light enough, despite the many lamps and torches set in every conceivable niche. Echoes lingered on a fraction too long, and shadows caught at the corner of his eye with hints of unnatural shapes. He tried to tell himself it was all in his imagination, but he couldn't make himself believe it. He glanced surreptitiously at DuGrange, Roderick, and the guards to see if they shared his mood, but they seemed unaffected. Presumably, they were used to it. And then they came to a simple stone chamber, and the oppressive atmosphere was suddenly gone. Jordan stopped, dead in his tracks, and the others stopped with him. Jordan stood up a little straighter. He stretched and flexed his muscles. He hadn't realized what a weight he was carrying until it was gone. He felt calm and relaxed, and at peace with himself and the world. It was an unfamiliar feeling for him, and he just stood there for a while, savoring it. He looked about him curiously, studying the chamber. It was an unfamiliar feeling for him, and he just stood there for a while, savoring it. He looked about him curiously, studying the chamber. The walls were the same black stone as everywhere else, but here the color was flat and lifeless. Two torches burned in iron wall brackets, and their light filled the chamber with a warm, comfortable glow. A plain wooden crucifix hung on one wall, with a garland of fresh flowers beneath it. There was a row of simple wooden seats, but no other furniture or fittings.
What is this place?
This is a sanctuary, Your Highness.
Oh, of course. A sanctuary. Carry on, Brian.
He nodded to DuGrange, and they left the chamber behind them. The moment they passed through the doorway, the feeling of peace and restfulness was gone. Jordan said nothing, but decided he'd have quite a few questions to put to Roderick once they were safely out of the public eye. He didn't dare ask anything in front of the guards. Victor would have known what a sanctuary was. Finally, long after Jordan had lost all track of where he was in the castle, they came to a large, ornately carved and decorated door. DuGrange opened it, and then stepped back and gestured for Jordan to enter first. He did so, trying to put across with his upraised nose that he'd never expected anything else. The room before him was wonderfully spacious and luxuriously appointed. Thick carpets covered the floor, and brightly colored tapestries livened up the gleaming white walls. More than a dozen doors led off into adjoining rooms. Elegant and expensive furniture stood casually about, drawing attention to itself, though it seemed to have been assembled with little feeling or taste. Some of the pieces clashed so ostentatiously in style and period that Jordan felt like wincing. Having briefly been a nouveau riche during his more successful days, Jordan was a terrible snob where taste was concerned. He waited impatiently while the two guards busied themselves lighting candles under DuGrange's direction, and the moment they were finished, he gestured for them to leave with a quick jerk of his head. They did so, after bowing politely, and Jordan was finally left alone with Count Roderick and Brian DuGrange.
Phew, so far so good. What do you think of your quarters, Your Highness?
Very nice. Very opulent.
Yes. Victor's never been known for his taste. And if you think this is bad, where do you see the bedroom? Brian, dear fellow, allow me to introduce you to the great Jordan.
Jordan grinned at DuGrange and stuck out his hand. DuGrange put his hands on his hips and studied Jordan coolly.
You made a good choice, Roderick. The likeness is exact, even down to his voice and the way he walks. They'll have to work on the arrogance, of course, but that should come easily enough to an actor. Does he understand what his job here entails?
Yes, he's been thoroughly briefed.
I've no doubt he's word perfect on Victor's background, but does he understand what we all stand to lose if he fouls up?
I'm sure he does, Brian.
I wouldn't bet on it. I know his sort. He may style himself the Great Jordan, but deep down he's just like any other actor. Idle, shiftless, and unreliable.
If you don't stop talking about him as if he wasn't here, he is going to punch you right in the throat.
You forget your place, actor. You're a hired man, nothing more. We own you, body and soul. Out there in public, I may have to bow and scrape to you. But here in private, you'll call me sir and like it. Because if you don't, I'm going to hurt you. I know a lot about hurting people. I'm very good at it. Now get on your knees where you belong, actor, and call me sir.
Blow it out your ear.
DeGrange's hand dropped to the sword at his side, and Jordan's knee ascended into the man's groin.